Backseat Producers, number 267, Skyfall.
Like he just wanted to kill people.
Can I just throw sedition in there? It all goes.
A lot of rhetoric. A lot of rhetoric.
He could have got a bad slice of cheese, you know.
A lot of rhetoric likes to pretty up. I want to kill people, but usually that's. I gotta imagine that that's probably the core motivation.
Well, there's I want to kill people, and then there's wanting to create a situation of anarchy and fear.
Right. If you're trying to destabilize...
This isn't Congress, Tony. Come on.
A civilization.
Or make another normative television.
Well, that's easy. Media. Just make another Superman movie.
We'll watch that Superman.
Fucking... They need to add a scene where he fucking kicks somebody's ass.
Oh, probably... Bonner.
Hopefully this movie isn't going to be one of those Superman, I'm trying to figure out who I am movies.
I hope it's exactly that.
Really?
Oh, God.
I haven't seen enough of Superman trying to figure out who he is.
Yeah, but
you that's kind of the core story.
To figure out who he is always foiled by kryptonite.
Yeah, and see, and that's the problem.
I don't mind if it's there.
The thing
I guess
is,
what I'm saying
I
is...
I want it there at all.
The thing is, they're presenting it in a completely different way because...
As long as he's not moping around. That's my thing.
Moping around. The mopey Superman.
He's going to mope.
He's going to because he's actually being primed for that. That's actually the story.
Two-thirds of the movie.
There's too much Twilight influence.
No. Man of Feel.
No.
That's
what
this is going to be.
Man of Feel.
what they're doing is Jonathan and Martha Kent are raising him to suppress his powers. Don't do that.
Hide
them. Don't put yourself out there. It's just going to cause you hurt and pain and sorrow.
Okay.
Do not do that.
This is Kevin Costner, by the way.
Yeah, Kevin Costner's telling me this, which is like, nice. Fuck yeah, I'm believing every second of it. He's banging Diane Lane because that's Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
He's Robin Hood. All right.
He's banged Diane Lane in other movies. So, yeah.
He's Kevin Costner. I'm sure he's banged Diane Lane just in general.
For realsies.
Realsies.
Okay, well, that's cool. I can go with that.
Yes. So he's, like, suppressing it and hiding it, and then Zod and other Kryptonians show up, so he has to stop.
Oh, my God, and then laser eyes.
The Batman movies explore, like, those personal themes, but they don't drag down the movies with it. They somehow incorporate it into
Batman to be an emotional mess.
That's
true.
How much of Batman Begins did they have to devote to becoming Batman?
Yeah, but that was all very fascinating. There was a lot of technical stuff. There was a lot of action.
I kind of feel like Superman could also be that.
There was
movie
a lot of
we see
getting
it.
Really fat.
Okay, but you don't think the Liam Neeson sequence in the Far East was interesting? I thought that was great. I love that stuff.
No, that was great.
It was. No,
Superman would be the same way.
And it wasn't like him sitting on top of that and like, who am I? I mean, it was, like, very involved.
Have you not seen Superman on the fishing ship?
No.
That's a deep metaphor. He's a fisher of men.
Mm.
Oh, the Christian reference is coming in now. Awesome.
It's Zack Snyder. You know it's going to be that. You've seen 300.
Oh, I haven't seen 300.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler, the Spartans die.
Yeah.
When Leonidas dies...
I heard about that.
He dies on the cross. It's ridiculous.
Well,
it is ridiculous.
They were the first.
He gave his life so others may live.
He
yes.
wasn't actually crucified. Oh, he died.
He just kind of lands there?
It's the obvious Jesus on the cross. Yes.
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 Moves on to Elizabeth. Ah, there we go.
100% that, yeah.
Yep.
That's funny. I still want to see that movie. I just...
I'll bring it for you next time. It's great.
I've seen Watchmen.
No, it's Sparta.
I've seen any of those movies. Watchmen was so good. Who cares?
Was the pinnacle of his movies thus far.
He has Gerard Butler in his greatest role ever.
Was Gerard Butler? Okay. I didn't know who he was.
I like the Owl movie, too.
I saw a romantic comedy with my wife called
The Owl. The story was a children's story.
Anything like 300 sounds like.
No. The movie was fun to watch. I mean, it's a little, sometimes a little over the top in many areas.
Talented cinematographer.
Yes, it was a graphic novel.
Gorgeous.
It's this movie, if you read the graphic novel, the movie is beautiful. Follows it exactly frame for frame.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's it's a mythology. It's a myth brought to film.
I'm in, man.
It's a little over the top in a lot of things, but it is so fun to watch.
Sucker Punch,
check it out.
Sucker Punch, gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
Actually, I'll stop there.
The man, you'll love this one.
It's
nothing but. There is no.
There's no
the story
like,
was severely lacking,
rape or
but the
either,
movie was
no.
Okay, because she wouldn't watch that. But
wait, are you talking about the Owls of Ghoul?
No, that's why I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch not, the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo because
it's too rapey.
It is so rapey.
Well, I'm gonna see the American version first.
No. Do the
your time.
Yeah,
but it's David Fincher. Why wouldn't I?
It's because still a poor copy.
I watched half of it and I was like, fuck this. I'm turning
it off. It is a poor copy. It really is.
Probably. But they, like,
go to the source material.
They thematically change what the movie's about and drag out the ending to a ridiculous place.
Even Lena hated it.
Really?
Admittedly, she probably wouldn't have liked the original, but she only saw the American one, so she hated it. It's Raining Men.
Hallelujah.
Well, now I can't delete all that other crap.
That other crap is gold.
There is all the crosstalk.
Crosstalk?
Wait, the line.
Bring
the
double.
Leonidas crosstalk.
That too. Next week, Seven Psychopaths.
Oh yes, I can't wait to not watch
see
again.
I'm gonna see what I can do by getting three more people here.
That would be awesome.
So there will be seven psychopaths.
That'd be funny.
And it will be the 7th anniversary episode.
Yes.
For what it's worth.
Luke. No, maybe not Luke.
That's you.
I can't trust him.
Yeah. Wasn't that way? Is it Way of the Game who did the movies? They did Raging Bull?
We just watched a movie.
But it's the Way of the Game guys, right?
It's Jonathan from Way of the Game.
Okay.
Is Jonathan his brother-in-law and another guy they know?
Okay. Well, it was really good.
They're doing a good show. I've been listening to it each week.
Yeah, it's the only one I listen to.
I figured you'd listen to that one.
I was like, really? I listened on the way home. I was like, that's awesome. So.
Well, you need to like post a comment or send them a voicemail or something.
Yeah.
Because they will be so excited if you do. I know. All Jonathan right.
would. I'll send them a voicemail because I thought about posting a comment, but I was like, there's so much I could comment on. They did have a very sprawling review, and they got most of it right. I mean, they knew a lot about how the movie was made and everything, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. They did a good job.
Better than us, bro.
We never did that movie, no matter what you say. It does not exist.
I'll watch. It's got Robert De Niro in it.
That's right.
I think we were going to, and then we never got around to it.
Probably. It's what we do. We've probably done more Scorsese movies than any other single director, so it's not big.
Ooh.
We've done a lot of Spielberg movies, too.
Yeah.
We have. And Spielberg, we've also done a lot of Kevin Smith, because we did them all.
We did them all. Well, we did all the George Lucas ones, too.
Yeah.
In our first two episodes, we did every George Lucas movie, except Red Tails, which...
I'm pretty sure Spielberg probably got that beat. Easy. Yeah.
Private Ryan.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
Back to the Future.
He didn't do Back to the Future.
Yeah, Zemeckis.
That's right.
Yeah. But he did.
He produced it.
Yeah, he produced it.
He did Indiana Jones.
He did Indiana Jones.
Yeah, all the Indiana Joneses. So that's like four.
No, that's three.
Indiana Jones and the Mystery of the Blues is a real movie.
Stop it. I'm talking to somebody who's watched three seasons of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, all right?
Please,
you can't all have whips.
Plays a mean tenor sax.
Yes, he does.
I'll show you my tenor sax.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And this is Tony.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
We know.
So I would like to open this with a word association game. Sun.
Oh, it's just me?
Yeah.
Superman.
Moon.
A Batman.
Skyfall.
Pingus.
So, Daryl and I, last week, went and saw...
Defiance.
Yeah. We saw Defiance, which is the pilot episode of the new TV series on Sci-Fi Channel. Cool. We saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was that? Because I didn't want to... You asked me to go, and I was like, no, it looks too bad to go on a free ticket.
It was it was a good Sci-Fi Channel pilot.
Tony, that's too much qualification.
That's exactly what it was, though. It was... The special effects were decent. Sci-fi. Were decent. Because sci-fi can do some decent special effects.
Sure, they bought their money in the pilot.
Quite possibly. Well, yeah, they're throwing a lot behind this because they've also made a video game
and they've already
committed. And they've already committed to 10 episodes, whole season.
Yeah. So it was a good sci-fi pilot, but was it a great sci-fi pilot?
It's hard to tell. It's not Battlestar Galactica great. Not even at the pilot.
Is the Stargate Universe great? I bet it's not. I bet that
remains
was
to be
show.
Seen.
No, I've rewatched some MacGyver.
I watched the pilot of MacGyver.
It's better than MacGyver.
It is. That's good.
That's not saying much though, because have you rewatched any old MacGyver?
Let me tell you something.
Most of those
melt a bunch of M&Ms and stop a nuclear reactor. I guarantee it.
That's science. Yeah.
Never worked for me.
Yeah, it worked for you.
No, it never worked for me.
No, it never did.
I just turned the control rods in. It stopped it pretty good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Tell that to Fukushima.
the thing is it threw so many different tropes of different Sci-Fi Channel TV shows at it that it was like it was hard to tell what the actual theme of this thing is going to be, because it was like we've got the loner cop with his daughter figure coming into town.
Somebody mentioned it's
kind of like Eureka.
Yeah, it's anti-Eureka.
Yeah, it's sort of like Eureka in that you've got this ragtag group of people
barely hanging on
the edge with a male pseudo-military
leader.
Cop and a female mayor. So it's like you got the whole Battlestar Galactica thing going. It's this weird mishmash of all that stuff. So it could be just that big because it's set in a town. There are two warring families of businessmen, kind of like Caprica. There was just so many different things there.
You have the whole survival ethic. You have the external threat of one of the alien races, which none of the alien races like. You've got the potential of the whole planet has been remade anew. And not always for the better.
So
how long after the whatever is this?
30 years.
30 years. So was the survival thing still around then? It can't.
So the way this works is aliens come to Earth today.
Sure. Like
today, alien ships are over the planet.
Okay.
And
they want our butts.
It sounds like they're just ARC ships.
It's what they always said they want.
That's what they keep going for.
Well, I don't know. Do they work? We have enough aliens in this country already.
Wow.
He went there.
Damn.
You said today.
That's true. So they
should. Yeah, they open up their food trucks.
They start terraforming the Earth.
Into butts.
Well, no, they didn't start terraforming the Earth. They got parked. They got... They got stuck in the Earth, orbiting the Earth, negotiating, trying to work out landing rights. A war got started. The ships were starting to be destroyed one by one. Everything fell. They made unplanned reentries. The terraforming devices landed and started terraforming everything uncontrollably. And then another war broke out between all
the... louder than everyone.
Another war broke out between the alien races, between themselves and in humanity.
He's screaming into the microphone.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So this sounds like a mishmash of
it is
alien plot we can throw together.
Right. It starts off as a mishmash. We find out there's seven distinct alien races, including humanity.
Are they all playable classes?
Apparently, except for
they all are.
They all are. We've only in the pilot we only meet about three of them.
Three or four.
Yeah.
And at least two of them look like they are fully robotic.
They're the ones everybody hates.
Here's my question to you. Is this
what
sci-fi...
None of them are the Prowlat, by the way.
Jesus Christ. Is this what sci-fi had to save their money on Stargate Universe to create?
It probably.
Because this is horrible.
Probably.
Well, not really. It does have a lot of potential.
I think I did see like a behind-the-scenes thing about this, and it struck me as like a remake of Lord of the Rings in like space.
No, of course,
it's got a lot of potential. It could literally go anywhere.
It literally could go anywhere.
They've set up every plot.
They have.
Is this the show where there's a huge amount of backstory they didn't tell? Then there's one race that's super beautiful, and then there's another race that's super intellectual, and they look like they're all like elves, basically.
I have no clue what you're talking about at this point.
Hold on.
Well,
that sounds like
this was on in the background when I was doing something else, and I was like, oh. Great.
Was this Monday night?
Because
that's when it aired.
But well, this wasn't the show itself, though. This was some kind of promo for it.
According to their own Wikipedia, is the races all lived together in one solar system, and they had to flee their solar system because it was of some disaster. Each one of them has a bit of a racial view of itself that sometimes they all feel morally and intellectually superior to one another.
No.
Why is it always going to be racial?
That doesn't happen.
Why is it always going to come back to race?
Yeah, it comes back to race and class and everything else. So they transplanted all these problems to their new home. And now they got an additional thing they have to deal with humanity, too, and humanity has to deal with them.
Why is my hand hurt?
Stroke?
Maybe. All right, continue.
So, there's a lot of backstory they didn't tell, and that will probably come out in all these series. Again, they got a potential here for some really good storytelling. Where it goes is how much of the money, the budget, there's also
a brothel, and the madam who's in charge of it is well-respected member of the community, kind of like Inara from Firefly.
Why don't we leave with that?
I was saving
you
it for
you.
You
piqued Adam's interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, now that I've piqued, I'm descending.
Yes, she gives our hero a discount.
A discount?
Yes, because he's that good.
What? All right, I'm out.
Skyfall.
Well, I'll be honest with you guys, this sounds terrible. Next week, 7 Psychopaths. Then we'll talk about Skyfall. Actually, I'm talking about Skyfall now.
Yeah.
What did you think of Skyfall, Tony?
I liked it.
You're the only one who hadn't seen it last week.
I saw it. I saw it a day or two after we recorded last week, and I liked it.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Without going into any detail, what was the best thing about the movie?
Javier Bardem.
All right. I would have accepted another answer, but I'm going to just take an opinion poll here.
There's a second thing.
There's a second potential answer.
I'll give it after everybody else goes.
What over there? What was the best part about this movie? One thing, no explanation. All right.
I'm going to say the plot.
Oh, you're the worst. Javier Bardem was the
correct, Javier Bardem was
the correct answer. Was the best part of this movie.
I thought I almost said Judi Dench too.
My second answer would have been the opening credits. I thought that was beautifully done. I thought it was really cool and creepy and trippy, and it went along amazingly with the music, which Adele knocked it out of the park Bond theme.
She usually knocks it out of the park with generally everything she does.
Sure, but for
this is a big. This was her big show. Big showcase.
She earned it. She earned this, and she knocked it out of the park. I mean that was fantastic.
She set a very high bar now for all future movie.
Well,
themes.
I mean, she already had 7 Grammys when she did this. This isn't her big show.
Yeah, but the thing is,
I
listened to any of her stuff until now.
Oh,
but sometimes the Bond songs are atrocious, and sometimes they're great. But most of the time, they're atrocious.
frequently. But they frequently go after big name artists who don't find nobodies to do.
Well, that's true.
Movie music. I can't think of any occurrence where a Bond song like this was done by somebody who didn't have a lot of fame.
I don't know who did Casino Royale. I don't remember that one.
I don't know that I had one. I mean, they don't have it for all.
They,
did it?
They, wow. They all have a song, and they all have like an intro like that.
Yeah, let me look it up.
The most famous ones I can think of are View to a Kill, Dire Straits, Live and Let Die, Paul McCartney, GoldenEye.
View to a Kill?
View to a Kill. I think it was Dire Straits. No, not Dire
Straits. No, Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. I'm sorry.
Madonna did Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. That Tina Turner, GoldenEye, which was pretty bad, actually. I mean, the Tina Turner was great, but the GoldenEye song.
Yeah, the Madonna one wasn't great either.
Yeah.
Live and Let Die, I love.
Live and Let Die is a great song.
And I gotta say I love Guns N' Roses' cover of it, too. But
Yeah.
But you know my name, Chris Cornell.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Casino Royale.
Okay. Lead singer, Soundgarden.
Okay. So. But it wasn't memorable.
That one wasn't memorable.
Apparently not.
This one was.
This one was great.
For Skyfall, yeah.
No.
The interesting thing about the opening credits, it occurs almost half an hour into the movie.
Was it that long in? I mean, I heard people say that. I think it was like 10 to 15 minutes.
Is probably right. But it's extensive.
It occurs way into the film.
The thing is, a major
chase scene and a plot setup.
Yeah, but you know what? I liked how they took that trope of Bond movies and kind of spun it. And made it actually part of the plot. Because a lot of times the prologue...
So stupid.
They're prologues.
Nothing, right.
Yeah, they're literally throwaway prologues so that you just get a taste of action. Because you know it's a spy movie and you need a lot of exposition to explain why this person is going into what they're going to do. So you need to throw people into the action to get them involved because... The next 15 to 20 minutes of the movie is just going to be set up.
And I could be wrong, but I think that all the Craig films actually do that. In Casino Royale, you learn a lot about the new Bond in that first sequence. And I forget what happens in Quantum, but then this one obviously...
Well, it picks up where he shot the guy in the leg.
That's right. So it's directly related. It just comes right out of the other movie. So.
Oh, man. Quantum of Solace was such a bad movie.
I liked it. I mean, it's not like this movie, but I liked it. It's a different movie. It's a different director. It's a different style.
It's different.
It's the least Bond of the new Bonds. Yeah,
I think it's still far superior to a lot of the older Bond movies.
I agree.
I find most of the older Bond movies unwatchable. Lena's like, look, he's gonna run across these crocodiles. Oh, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
The Roger Moore ones are particularly difficult to get through. But Roger Moore didn't seem to be playing it very seriously, so it was tolerable.
It was a lot more camp.
Yeah,
there was a lot more humor involved.
The early Connery ones, I think, are pretty good. Yeah. Dr. No and Russia with Love are good.
Mm-hmm.
Goldfinger was the most famous one, the most popular one, but that's where it starts to get kind of kitschy. So, you know.
Oh, I know. I would have also accepted Judi Dench as number one.
Judi Dench was fantastic.
She was a very high number two for me, though. Very high, almost number one, but not quite number one. That opening scene with Javier Bardem, where he's walking from the elevator. Holy shit, that was great. And talking about the rats.
Yeah.
That stuff was
The directing was really good.
I mean, the directing was really good. The casting was really good. I appreciated
here's the thing
all
about
the
it,
casting. I liked every actor in this movie played their part perfectly.
Really well.
Yeah, because they let Daniel Craig and Judi Dench off the leash for this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, because... The whole point of Bond in a lot of those movies, like the new Bond, is that he's kind of a thug, so there's not much for him to do.
Well,
so he's really cold and emotionless most of the time, but then like when he shows up in her apartment after the bombing, he's pissed! He's drunk and he's pissed and it's awesome!
Well, so are you saying that the plot was really good?
No. I'm not. Well, the first half of the plot was awful. I was like, "Geez, this is the worst."
Really?
I'm like, this is just every standard Bond.
It has to do some Bond things to maintain
some
continuity. Yeah, I mean, I agree. They do get a lot of the Bond stuff out of the way in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah,
and
because
if you
then
can't
the story
tolerate
is,
it,
yeah, because then the story is no longer about Bond, and then it gets really good.
Oh, but it is about Bond. That's why this one's so much better than all the others.
Well, that's just it. We finally get to see him as a real man. A guy who is really taking a lot of injuries, doing a lot of hurt, but he's still out there doing the job. And that's one of the things that was kind of interesting in the middle part of the movie when M is talking about his performance reports to her associate there, and she says he failed everything, every performance test, but I'm still going to reinstate him. Well, you ask yourself, why? Because she trusts him. He knows he gets the job done. Because he's more, a man is more than just the measure of a bunch of performance reports.
I mean, I basically agree. I think that's part of the arc of the film.
Oh, I can't.
This film is about the old guys doing things the old way to stop this.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? It's Javier Bardem and Judi Dench were the old guys. And
no, but
no. I know, but the young Q and the young whatever chick agent all look at James Money Bond Penny. like he's the old dog, and then that's the best parallel, because that same relationship is happening between Bond, Judi Dench, and Javier Bardem.
Yeah, but Bardem isn't necessarily like another generation removed from Tango Craig. He might be the same age for all you know. He just had horrible, that. Horrible stuff happen to him because she basically
he's got
handed him over.
Well, but she had to hand him over there because was a reason he was running out of control.
Yeah, there correct. Was a reason she handed him over. So,
but there's an interesting reciprocity dynamic.
Yeah, there's a revenge edge to it.
She pays in some way for making that decision in the end. Maybe she was going to pay anyway. But you can't say that decision was made and there wasn't necessarily anything wrong with that decision. There was no cost that she had to pay for making that decision.
No, but she was fully prepared to pay whatever cost she made for that decision.
And she did.
And she did.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's
she fully knew that what she was doing, she was turning over a person who was out of control, who what she did was say, okay, look, we can bring him in, try to get him under control, or we can throw him to the wolves and get six of our good men back.
Well, yeah, I'm not disagreeing that it's good decision. What I'm saying, though, is I think the movie does have like this bit about after a while, these old guys and the old methods, those things catch up to you. And that theme is steady with Daniel Craig's character, and that theme is definitely steady with them because one of these old things comes back around and...
One of the things I didn't get about this movie was that Daniel Craig was old and that he was the old guard. He got shot and then he went on painkillers and got drunk a lot and lost his edge for a period of time.
Yeah, but he is old in this movie. He's probably 45, which, you know, most of the Bonds were probably older, but
I understand
more realistic.
I understand that.
They weren't older.
But they failed. They failed in showing us that he was old and losing his touch. That is the problem. That's the one problem that I had with the opening of the movie, because in the opening of the movie, he is kicking ass like any other Bond before him. The fight scene on the train, all of that sequence, he wasn't losing steps. He wasn't missing punches. He wasn't old and weak and feeble.
He's taking a lot of damage, but he's giving it a lot too.
Exactly. And so I didn't get where it seemed like he was an old dog at that point, which I think that was a failing in the movie because they should have shown that more. They should have shown that he was losing a step, that he couldn't keep up, because then the rest of it would have made more sense. All I saw was a guy who got shot, then went on painkillers, and got drunk a lot. Well, and that's where he lost
the
shit
out of chicks.
That's Bond.
Jesus Christ, that guy bangs the shit
out. I understand what you're saying, but I guess I didn't have a problem with it because sometimes when a guy takes damage like that, they come back and they have lost a step. They have put in enough time.
I was just
they do feel their age. I mean, that stuff happens.
Like his brutality doesn't jive with the way things are done now. Like a lot of
there's that too.
The whole cyber terrorism thing, like him shooting a dude on a train. That doesn't address the problem of the cyber terrorism.
Right.
Yeah, he's brutal.
Yeah.
There's always that necessity to be able to send a guy to kill somebody, but that's become a waning part of what the spy versus spy thing is.
Yeah, they beat us over the head with that in the movie. I mean, they had multiple conversations about that.
It was heavy-handed and terrible.
Well, it also kind of sums up when M is in front of the Intelligence Committee.
God damn it.
And
holy shit. I almost crap my pants.
And she's given her little speech about, you know, we do not know our enemies anymore. You know, they used to be countries. They used to be something we could identify. Now, you know, they're coming out of every direction, and they're more or less opaque to us. And then all of a sudden, the heavies burst in and start shooting.
That's right after her poetry quoting.
Yes, from Tennyson. Damn, yes, I mean, that
I've
makes
never
up.
Wanted to bang a 70-year-old woman more right after she did that speech. I was like, ah.
But it did sort of sum up even today's events. You know, we don't know our enemies anymore. There is no big boogeyman with a flag on its chest that we can point to. They come out of everywhere.
Sure, there is. Before, North Korea.
That was before Voldemort.
Please, don't even put them in the same category.
So yeah, almost everything leading up to Javier Bardem, I thought was all right. Like we go to the casino in the middle of the water with the candles. And I was like, all right. So we wander around there, and then the chick who looks like Jen Wong is like, sex trade. Oh, yeah, all right. We just had an awkward fight with some mirrors and a building. Okay.
I really thought that was a great scene, actually.
Yes, it was.
The Shanghai scene was spectacular. But, I mean, when I go into a Bond film, I guess I have a certain expectation of a little bit of flair. And if they do decide to do that, I'm okay with it, because I signed up for that when I paid for the ticket to go see Bond. I mean...
Yeah, and I liked how it had... It called back to a lot of Bond tropes. The, you know, the fact that when he gets his martini... You see it, and she's just shaking.
Yeah.
You know, there's no... We don't have to deliver the line.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. Just show us enough to let us know that at some point the line was probably delivered. That's great. I liked the introduction of the new Q.
Yes.
I liked the character. I liked that guy. I liked how...
This is another deadpan delivery there.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great when he handed Bond his new weapon.
Here's your gun. It's like, what's that? Oh, it's this new thing. It's called a radio.
honestly,
and I liked
007.
That.
Were you expecting an exploding pen or something?
It got back to like a certain droll, authentic, if you want to call it, I would say, because it's very unique, I think, to that culture. Very droll kind of British humor that has kind of like gone away from that franchise, and to bring it back, and I guess they set the whole thing in London, and I think they really pushed, you know, getting back to the origins, which in some ways is also kind of the plot as well as the meta plot.
I liked how they set up a lot of the relationships for everything else that could come after it. You know, they set up the relationship with Eve, who we find out at the very end is Moneypenny,
yeah.
Which amazing, great,
yeah,
loved that.
Yeah.
The new M,
yeah, well. I don't know. I'm
Ralph sure about Fiennes.
That. She was fine. First off, his name is Ralph Fiennes.
Fiennes.
Second off, he's got the name Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting.
And I liked how he's the new M. I think that's great.
Yeah, he was great.
And I don't know. I mean, I didn't see anything about the film before I went to see it the first time. So I didn't know Javier Bardem was the bad guy. So I thought, if you didn't know that, they did a pretty decent job of making Ralph Fiennes a red herring in a way.
Yeah, he was
in time with
the
IRA, and you didn't really know where he was coming from. Hey, you might as well get out. You're pretty old, and like, yeah, you know, kind of like, what's his deal? And someone on the inside is doing it, and
yeah,
so you're kind of
yeah.
Like,
in the first scene, he's in there chewing M out.
Yeah, yeah. So
and
it was like
what and what I loved is when the shit went down, he grabbed a gun,
yeah,
and got active.
Yeah,
he was like
shot and
that was,
shooting people.
That was awesome because it was like, oh, you're just a pencil pusher, and it was like no. So when he got the position
by the IRA for. In the field,
yeah,
a field agent, yeah, but they all
that could go either way, though. You go, well, did they twist him, or
was he that
is
was
he
a
just
badass?
A badass?
Well, I mean,
and
even
you
even
find out
Eve
he's a
said
badass.
Even because Bond at one point says to Eve, oh, so he's just a politician. She's like, no, he's a field dude, and he's got some commendations. Well, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That dude was shot and still shooting people. So
just the fact that he was shot and still shooting people, he on screen earned. Getting the position is
yeah.
M at the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, because there's a moment where like he nods at Bond and Bond nods back, and you're like, oh yeah, all right, I'm fine.
You're a badassery.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, yeah. I want to go bleed on these people I'm protecting. Go shoot that dude.
Komodo dragon.
The Komodo dragon thing was silly.
It was, but that's...
It sort of breaks the tension, though.
The Komodo dragon thing was silly. The Eve was silly until Javier Bardem shot her. Then I was like, oh, shit. I'm in for this.
That tone, though, that's kind of like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark has a lot of that kind of stuff in it. And they borrowed all that from the original Bond series. And see it all come back full circle and not look ridiculous. It's kind of nice. I mean,
nothing,
you know,
Indiana
the Batman,
Johnson,
the Batman Begins stuff where, you know, hey, nice car. And you know, all that kind of
nice
stuff.
Nice coat.
Yeah, you know, that's part of this genre. And I don't have a problem with that stuff.
I didn't have a problem with it because the way they framed that scene where he took the gun... And it was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. He can't use that gun.
Right.
I thought that was great.
Right.
Yeah.
He steps on the Komodo dragon
to jump
get
up.
Out there. Yeah. Kind of funny.
Your expectations are broken.
I don't think so. Because when we get to Eve...
It's not Bourne. I mean, it's not the same...
No, it was better than Bourne.
Okay.
When we get to Eve, I was like, man, this is going to... No, not Eve. Is that the name of the chick, the Asian chick?
No.
No.
What's the name of the Asian chick? God damn it. I'm just going to call
her
Jen.
Eve is...
Moneypenny.
Moneypenny,
yeah.
the agent that he worked with at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not the black chick. The Jen Wong chick. Damn it. I can't remember her name. I was almost going to call her Jen. So, when he meets...
Serventi.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. So, when he meets that chick in the casino, and then they go out, so I'm like, oh, okay. So now, it's just going to be this weird sex trade dude that he's going to kill... Okay, so then they get to the island, and then Javier Bardem is obviously crazy. And then when they start doing the shooting contest, I was like, where is this going to go? Then he murders her, and I was like, all right, I am 100% in for where this is going for the rest of the movie. Then I was on board with everything else that happens.
Oh, wow, Q is in Cloud Atlas.
Oh, he was one of the gay guys.
He's apparently the cabin boy, the store clerk, Robert Frobisher.
He plays a version of Bob Dylan in I'm Not There. He plays Rimbo.
It's Ben Whishaw.
Yeah.
I'm Ben Whishaw, your mom. This Severine chick
Arthur.
Is...
In I'm
Arthur,
Not There.
Arthur Rimbo, yeah.
She is French-Cambodian.
So, I think my favorite part of the movie was actually the end. I thought it was awesome. It was one of the best conclusions... To a movie because it was a
the
huge
end
payoff.
In what way?
Well, the epilogue.
When you find
the...
out where they're going and why,
mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It becomes
Skyfall.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I just you know, and it's obvious that you know they're lifting the plot from so many other stories of superheroes and people, but it was great. It was
okay,
great for his
yeah.
character. I mean,
it was
awesome. And the cinematography was great. I mean, I just the way they shot the whole thing and.
Goddamn Kincaid was awesome.
Yeah.
That guy was the Kevin Bacon of this movie. Like, James Bond is like, hey, some people are going to come kill us.
And we also don't
All right, let's kill him first. Like, that guy was just in.
Yeah.
That guy needed zero convincing to murder people coming to the house.
So, they said at one point they were thinking about getting Connery to play a role.
Oh,
in
that
this.
Would have been perfect.
Yeah, I don't know,
it
man.
Would have
but
been,
it would have been weird.
It would have been... It would have... It would have been perfect, and it would have taken... It would have been one of those, you know, it would have just been too much. It would have been the step
yeah,
too far, really.
Like Harrison Ford in the next
but since
Star
it's Bond,
Wars.
I would have gone for it. It's Bond.
It's it's the 50th anniversary, so it would have been like...
I would have been totally okay with it.
You can't
I think they made the right decision,
say
though.
This was a great movie, blah, 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 and it's Bond!
Yeah, you can.
You sound like
because...
goddamn Watto. You take the 50th anniversary. I'll take the quality. You be
also, we also,
I have no touche. I have no follow up.
We also missed the one other cameo character 50, in here that 50. Made the surprise appearance.
If you're gonna say the Aston Martin,
yeah, the Aston Martin DB5.
That was awesome.
The original one.
Yeah, the fan service in this movie.
See, yes, and
yeah,
the fan service
the
when people
like.
Saw.
You're right. That's the part I hate. I hate the fan service.
I love that.
Yeah, you're right.
I loved it too. And Quantum of Solace went so far in the other direction of demystifying
everything.
It had to go back to some degree. They had to recapture some of the spirit.
Yep.
Without losing the.
Well, Quantum of Solace.
And the
like,
fun thing that
like
really
when,
sets Bond off in the very end is when he shoots up his DB5.
Yeah.
Then he's actually pissed.
And then they go, ba-dum, ba-dum. He's like lighting stuff on fire.
It's like shit
it was awesome.
Shit now gets really real now.
Now you destroyed the one thing in my life that I really cared about.
Yep, that was good.
I did like M's response. Oh, like that's not obvious.
Yeah, there was a lot of good interplay between them. It's a shame that she's gone because...
I'm not going to call it a shame.
I mean, it's what made the movie strong.
This was a good exit.
It was a good exit.
But she was, in a way, underused in all the films up until
this. I know. That's, and now, I and wish now we had seen more of
that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying both Daniel Craig and Judi Dench just were not allowed in previous films to do anything.
Yeah.
In this film, they both broke that stoicism that their characters needed, and then they were awesome. Because Judi Dench is really talented.
She is.
Daniel Craig is okay, but James Bond doesn't really require much.
True.
I don't remember a lot of the details so much of the first one of Casino Royale, but there was this vibe between the two of them that was very mother son. I kind of got from, and it
yeah,
was
nuts this tortured
this one wrapped it up. Mm-hmm. I thought it felt very real, and their relationship at the end I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
When he showed up at her house, drunk and pissed off, and she expected it. She's like, well, where have you been?
Yeah, where have you been?
They also did a good job of...
They sold your flat. Oh, you're not staying here.
Like, yeah,
we do that.
The way they lit her the entire film, they made her seem very cold and callous. Like, they always lit her in, like, these pale white, silver, and, like, blue... like colors, and they'd always like highlight the
intensity,
know, the blues
of
her eyes, and it was always very like stark and cold. It was very much in keeping with kind of him. So then when you see them actually seem to have some kind of like affection for each other.
When they're not at work.
Right. It's really rewarding. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Kincaid was gonna tag that like nobody's.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Kincaid was gonna get some stank on his hang lows like you would not believe. Oh my god.
I'd have been cheering him on the whole time.
Me
too.
Also find out that M was quite the field agent herself at one time too.
Yeah.
And she starts wiring up all those light bulbs with all the shrapnel.
Yeah.
Like she didn't learn that obviously pushing paper
right
behind a desk. Well no, yeah, she was the head of the Shanghai division. That means she had to work her way up out of the field to something right like that. So it alludes that she was a 00 herself at one point.
Yeah. So the badassery.
Oh yeah, she's badassery. She's just taking a different direction in her career when she moved out of the field and moved into the management side.
I imagine she always looked that old though.
Like, yeah, but
20s,
you know something?
She looked that old.
Just think about what she was like probably in her younger days. She was probably just as badass as any of the other agents, probably more so because she was a woman.
You have to cross additional thresholds mm-hmm. to get to that point.
At the time,
at
yes,
that time. Yeah, yeah.
So. She's got the chops. So let's make no mistake about that.
I'm looking up pictures of young Judi Dench right now. Man, do you remember when we went out to the bar with Rich and Chris? You remember how much of a boner Chris had for Judi Dench? He would, like, not stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Whoa, young Judi Dench looks weird. I take it back. I prefer old Judi Dench.
After shooting two of Silva's men dead, welcome to Scotland.
Yep,
Kincaid.
Goddamn, Kincaid
and
was
I think,
awesome.
I think
Kincaid had the weirdest role in the movie. Like, there was no reason for that guy to be there whatsoever.
I would bet somebody wrote Kincaid for Sean Connery.
I agree.
And then they decided
that makes a lot of sense.
And then they decided not to do it.
Which, in some ways, is a shame. No matter what anybody says.
Well, also you get to learn a little bit about Bond's past, too.
It would have been funny that he would have been the one that raised him, though. That would have been kind of cool. There's
the timing actually kind of works out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, there's a lot of meta that would have been kind of cool with having
James Bond is like Doctor Who.
Maybe Connery just couldn't do it. I mean,
no, it
sounded like
they made not to use him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The trivia is that they made the decision that it would have been too distracting.
Okay.
To have him in the role.
That's because that's accurate.
It is, but...
Kincaid was a little distracting.
Give
is
it up.
There isn't a good picture of her.
I like you better
without
your Beretta. I feel naked without it.
Yeah, that was a
when they're in the shower.
Good scene. Even though it's fan service, I bet you liked it.
Man, Bob Hoskins. What?
Yep.
All right, I didn't like that.
Think on your sins.
So, pretty awesome movie.
Oh, yeah, one of the better Bond movies I've seen in a while.
Melina hates Daniel Craig, and I made her watch this. And she's like, but oh, she's
wrong. The thing is also, this is a 4 years between Quantum of Solace, which came out in 08, and this one just came out in 12. So that's kind of a long dry period.
Well, there was a reason for that.
Yeah, because money. Of the studios.
Studio ran out of money.
Did they?
Yeah, they had to suspend production for a while. And they almost lost, the whole movie due to the suspension.
Oh, wow.
Because the director, fortunately, the director decided to stay on as a consultant, but they lost the writers.
Looking now at some of Kincaid's lines, this was totally written for Connery. There's one here, Bond, you ready? Kincaid, I was ready before you were born, son. Yeah.
I was ready before you were born.
Yeah, you could hear him saying it. wearing a crown and armor.
Nice.
Excalibur.
Fuck yeah. Oh, good. Here comes a train.
Yep.
I dug it. I thought it was good. How would you rate it against the other Craig Bond movies?
Daryl. Oh, I put this one ahead of Quantum and probably a little ahead of Casino Royale.
Hold on, that doesn't work for me. That only tells me where this one is ranked in relation to everything
else. That's what you asked me, so how do I feel about it? I think it's probably one of the better ones I've seen in a long time. In terms of
what do you
story.
Think? How would you rank
this
it?
This one was the best. Casino Royale was the next, and Quantum Solace was the third.
So you guys are in agreement there.
I think this one was the best. I actually like Quantum because it was so different. And probably Casino Royale third. Mostly because Quantum was such a left field Bond movie, it's original in that way.
Well, because the thing it was that original. The thing that brings down Casino a little bit is because we're reintroducing Daniel Craig back in. By this movie, he's pretty well comfortable with this role.
Yeah.
In the first one, he's more or less trying to find it, his voice in it.
Yeah.
That's weird to say though, with a professional movie, with a professional actor and an established character.
Yeah, but
that it takes you three movies to find the voice of a character, that's pretty weak.
And character is James Bond.
Again, every actor...
There's not a lot going on.
You're Daniel Craig. You're coming into...
James
you look
Bond. You know what? I just found the character.
from the character that has been established for 30-some years, and everybody says, oh, D, blonde, blue eyes. He doesn't look anything like we've pictured. He's got a big, big set of shoes to fill there.
Yeah, and in the beginning of Casino Royale, where he runs that dude down for like 10 minutes, he'd already filled the shoes for me and didn't say a single word.
The problem with Casino Royale, if there is any problem, it's not a big one.
You can see his nuts in that torture scene.
But that was a good thing. But the point is that where he falls in love with that woman, I never really got on board with that. I was kind of like, really? A guy this cold? He's just going to drop it all for a woman? And that's, I guess, the story of how he becomes even colder. But I was kind of like, he doesn't really have a problem with being cold. So I never really understood that.
There's no arc there. He went from cold to cold.
Yeah.
And in between was this weird thing.
So I think that's the only thing that keeps me from, embracing Casino Royale, was I always kind of caught that subplot as kind of, By Quantum of Solace, he's like pissed off and killing people. I'm like, that's fine.
I'm okay here.
Casino Royale. I've been to Casino Royale. It's not that big.
It's not that big?
No, it's very small, but surprisingly.
Yeah.
I can't judge movies that way. Because then I start analyzing like all the technology, and I'm like, that doesn't work. Where does that end? At some point, then I stop being entertained, and that's terrible.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
If you can't suspend your disbelief on something like that.
How do you rank them?
The same way that these guys do.
Evergreen, yeah.
Now, what rabbit they pull out a hat for the fourth movie? It's gonna be tough to top, if there even is one.
No,
it would be neat if they bring Sam Mendes back. I mean, I think that's the key. They really should bring him. If they don't bring him back, my expectations won't be as high. I don't know. I haven't seen all Sam Mendes movies, but every one I've seen, I've liked. I've seen American Beauty. Mm. I've seen Road to Perdition. I've seen this one, and they're all good.
Wiener, yeah.
Ooh. All good movies.
I'm looking now to see what other movies Sam Mendes.
Have you seen Off Constantly?
No.
That's the second name of our band.
Really?
Sam named.
The trick is we're going to join a battle of the band,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to make it to at least second.
Yep.
Because so even if we lose,
Wild
we'll win.
Yeah.
You do you see it?
Yes.
Do you see why?
I gotta think about this. I'm sorry.
All right.
It took me. Took me a minute. Too.
Imagine any other band name. Pick one. Van Halen. What would happen if we lose to them? They would beat us.
Oh no.
Van Halen beats off constantly. Sam busted that gem out, and it was glorious.
That was brilliant.
I don't use the word divine often, but it was
Revolutionary Road.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that was that was a good movie.
I didn't see that either.
That was one of those. So we were at a local Blockbuster. It's closing.
Oh yeah.
So we went through there just all the DVDs are 99 cents or $1.99.
It's the please take me price.
So it was like,
what are these DVD things?
Well, see, that's just it. These were movies that, like, I would have rented this, so I'll just go ahead and buy it, and then when I'm done, I'll just give it to the library.
You mean you rented physical media?
Yes. I do that all the time from my library.
Oh, wow.
Because not everything is available streaming, as hard as that is to believe.
It's not hard at all to believe.
I'm totally shocked.
Because sometimes I want to give companies money, and they won't sell me their product. And I'm very confused.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because these are the same companies that tell me that capitalism is the key to this country, but they will not take my money for a product or service. I'm confused.
Yeah, that's weird.
Take my money.
So we're there looking at movies in Revolutionary Road. Julie's like, oh, I wanted to see that.
Bye.
Don't put it back. She's like, why? I heard it was good. It is. It's fantastic. You will hate it. Put it back. It's too real.
It's too real.
There's movies about relationships where people, like, fight for real and get vicious and hurtful and painful.
I live this.
Yeah.
This is my life.
She can't deal with that.
Oh. This is why we don't hang out.
So it's like, no, put that back. Because I saw it, and it's a great movie, but it's tough.
It's easy to watch.
It can be tough to watch.
Is it revolutionary? Yeah.
It is.
Is it The Road?
It is not.
Revolutionary? The Road was not very good. I did not like it.
So, yeah, I want them to bring Sam Mendes back. I hope they do.
I want to see Sam Rockwell in the next one.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Sam Rockwell's really good.
Yeah, he's
Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell would be a good Felix. What's his name?
Felix.
There's a CIA agent, the guy who always shows up.
Guy's black. He's already in there, isn't he?
Jeffrey Wright played him in Casino Royale.
And in this one.
Was he in this one?
No, he was, he was not in this one.
I think he was in Quantum of Solace, though.
I'm pretty sure he was in
Solace.
No, he was not in this one. Yeah, he was in Quantum of Solace. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Jeffrey Wright. Bring him back.
That's I'm pretty sure that guy, Jeffrey Wright.
But I could see Sam Rockwell as a CIA agent working with Bond. Yeah.
Banging chips.
I could deal with that.
I still need to see Moon.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Felix Leiter.
You must see Moon.
Yeah, you really got to see that.
I know.
You should watch that before next week and we discuss. Right. And compare and contrast to Sam Rockwell in Moon.
Role in the next James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Let's write that.
What if they redo Moonraker?
No.
And Sam Rockwell.
Whoa.
Yes, he plays Jaws.
Which that would be.
I just vomited and I have an erection.
It's very confusing. You are becoming more and more like Rafi every day.
Oh, my God. I just tripled. That's when you vomit, shit, and cum at the same time.
I thought that was called flying Hawaiian.
It's weird to me that you have a term that you just pull out from.
Next week, 7 Psychopaths. I got nothing else.
We're already here, man. We're already starting. I'm going to be drunk next week.
Sweet.
I'm probably not going to be drunk.
Felix Leiter.
I just said that.
I couldn't remember his last name.
I said his full name.
Okay. All right.
See ya.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.